This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to Connect with Community Waikato on Free FM 89.0. I'm Holly Snape from Community Waikato, and very fortunate to have with me in the studio today Harvey Brooks of the Wellbeing of Waikato Wellbeing?
Wellbeing Waikato.
Wellbeing Waikato. Now, this is why I've got you here, right? Because I was going to say of the Wellbeing Plan. Not anymore. Well, yes and no.
Used to be the Waikato Wellbeing Project.
That's the one.
If we're going to be fussy about words.
Wellbeing
and Waikato.
Let's talk a little bit about what's happened then over the... Because, I mean, I go away for a few weeks and suddenly everything's different, right? So tell me a bit about what's been happening for you guys.
Well, the short story, we've been around about 5.5, 6 years. Funded previously by the Well Energy Trust and supported by the Waikato Regional Council. Very, very privileged to have that. All good things come to an end, don't they?
They do. Everything has a cycle.
Yeah, especially in terms of funding. So we always knew the funding was finite. And we did a review about a year and a half ago, and asked people, well, you know, money's going to run out. Do you think we should carry on? And the overwhelming answer was yes. Find a way to carry on. So we haven't been a legal entity at all. We've just been a project supported by the Waikato Regional Council, which is kind of nice because you don't have to do any of the work. You can just do the mahi. But we knew if we wanted to continue, we had to turn into an independent legal entity. So, you know, we went through all of that, and a charitable trust model was really the only option.
Absolutely.
So that's what we've become.
So your formal name now is Wellbeing Waikato. Wellbeing Waikato. Tell me a little bit about where you settled on, why you settled on this.
Yeah, well, there's a few things. We used to be the Waikato Wellbeing Project. And so, you know, we kind of got known as the wellbeing people.
Yeah.
Who talk about that stuff. And so wellbeing, yeah, it's kind of become a politicised word.
But it has, eh?
Yeah, we can talk about that.
Yeah. You
know, most people kind of get it. They understand that word. And Waikato, the whole Waikato region.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk to you about that. The initial funding had come from Well Trust, right?
Yeah.
Which has a smaller catchment area.
Yeah.
But of course, you're sitting within the Waikato Regional Council for a period of time, which has that whole area. So in terms of where it is that you are servicing, so to speak, the whole... Where do you go down to? Where do you go up to?
Well, you know, Tūrangi to Pōkeno, Raglan to Whitianga.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything in between. You know, Holly, there's me and some occasional contract support. And part of the challenge there is, well, you know, we have to be careful about the promise.
Yeah.
So we're not promising that we are some sort of magic service or solution to every community on the Waikato. But at the same time, the word Waikato is important because it's easy if you don't watch it to become the Hamilton Wellbeing Project.
Yeah. Yeah, look, and I think that many of us that work across the region identify that as a challenge at times.
Yeah.
And sometimes for good reasons, like, you know, it's the largest city.
It's just statistical. It just becomes that thing.
That's right.
Yeah.
But the challenge it's faced by others outside of those urban centres throughout the Waikato region can be quite different.
Very different. Very different. And so way back when I started, we've had so many models, but one of the models was, let's think about this in terms of topics, whether it be, you know, youth, hunger, housing, that kind of thing, food. But let's also think about this in terms of communities, places, because both of those things are real, but they present differently.
You know? And the solutions can be quite different too,
utterly,
right? Yeah.
Utterly, because it's a different, you know, the lived reality of living in Thames is pretty different to the lived reality of living in Tamihere.
Yeah. Yeah.
Both wonderful places, but just totally different.
Yeah.
So what we've tried to do is, you know, people are interested in topics which have application everywhere, but it's worth actually also looking at communities. because they are different. And we did a whole lot of work in the Coromandel last year and the year before for that very reason.
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that work. I know we talked about it at the time. And it was pretty powerful stuff. But can you just give me a bit of insight into what you did and then what the outcome of that work was?
Yeah. Well, it was actually... it started immediately after Cyclone, was it Gabrielle?
Yes.
2023. And we went over to a hui in Thames put on by the council. And all the councillors were new. The mayors were new at that time. And there was lots of bureaucratic type people in the room. And one of the mayors said to me, you know, we've all been elected by our communities, but we don't really know much about them. What really drives them? You know, right now they're concerned with how do we recover from this horrific storm. But what really drives... what's good?
Yeah.
Avoiding the well-being word, probably. But and we said, well, we can help. And we've been very, very fortunate that Trust Waikato had funded us to explore what well-being means through the voice of the community as opposed to bureaucrats telling people what well-being means. And, you know, I've been one of those people a long time. It's so easy to do.
Yeah.
And so we were commissioned by Thames Coromandel, Hauraki and Matamata Piako district councils to do a piece of work to ask a statistically representative sample of people in those three districts. It tended to be more Coromandel. Just really simply, how's life and what matters? And because, you know, there's a tendency where if you've got a hammer in your hand, you go looking for nails. And a few people say, Harvey, the great strength about you is you don't do anything. What they mean is I don't have a service I'm pushing. I'm not trying to convince you that my service is best. So we simply say to them, tell us what matters to you, how's life, and what are the things that make a big, big difference. We also worked with some of the health providers over there as well because they had been doing some amazing work. And what we found is in a lot of ways not so dissimilar to what everybody needs for a good life. But one of the statistics that really sticks with me, Holly, is when you ask people in Colville or Manaia what really matters, that's quite different to even Thames or Pairoa. And one of the big things that came out of me that was just so obvious when it was said, when you ask people up there what really, really matters, and they say, the state of my kids' teeth.
Yeah.
And you go, why? Well, because if my 2-year-old's teeth are rotten, then my kids are really unwell. I'm stuck at home looking after them. They can't get out and get early childhood education. I can't work, and the whole thing snowballs. And because they're physically isolated as well.
Yeah.
And so, through the work of Te Tata o Te Whai, which was a local health locality initiative, mobile dentistry. Now, I'm not taking credit for that. We simply observed it.
Yeah.
But, living in town, you wouldn't think mobile dentistry is important, would you? Because there's a dentist around the corner.
That's right.
So that's an example.
It's really wonderful. You guys have been around about 6 years now, and you've been involved in quite a number of different spaces. The Regional Housing Initiative came out of the Wellbeing Project. There was a pretty...
I wouldn't want to take credit for that. Let's just say we emerged at about the same time as each other.
Yeah, there was a very close alignment, which was wonderful. You've had a toe in the food space, providing information. We're involved in homelessness conversations. Yes. So where to from here? What is the next 6 years look like from your perspective?
Well, existing would be good. Holly, I mean, it's good that you raised those topics because when we started, there were some fancy pants frameworks being thrown around that were meant to sort of guide what we do. And when my current trustees were at the very, very beginning, and we were tossing around fancy vision statements and things that were word salad, And Delwyn Abraham, who's our chair, she was there at the beginning, and we were kicking this around at Lake Karapiro one day, and she listened and she listened, and then she said, "Don't you mean our mokopuna are thriving?" So, oh, yes. And you can just interchange mokopuna for grandchildren if you prefer. But it's that basic human belief and desire, I think, that will my grandchildren's lives, even if they are not yet born, I don't know who they are, will their lives be as good or better than the life that I have? What am I gifting to the future?
Yeah.
And I think everybody can feel that because it's a sincere, deep responsibility. And the other thing we really focused on was listening. And again, smarty pants, ex-bureaucrat, thinks he has all the answers. The truth is, and you're in community Waikato, you know this, that actually the answers are out there right now.
Yeah.
And all the people who have the resources and the power and the knowledge, sort of the technical knowledge, the first thing they need to do is say, who's doing something now?
Mm.
Because so many times what you see is years and years of reinventing the same thing again and alienating the people who are doing it but get systemically ignored and yeah. underfunded.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so then someone stands up and says, we've decided to do program X, Y, and Z, and everyone out there goes, oh, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Why didn't you just talk to us? So as much as I like theory and I like data, I'm also really sensitive to the fact that before I open my mouth, just listen, and you'll probably find there are people doing awesome mahi in our communities right now. And you know, you mentioned housing, and I was at a hui yesterday at the Runanga. Incredible, really awesome. And you know, you look at things like the People's Project, which in New Zealand started in Hamilton, and you know, Hamilton City Council are talking sincerely at the moment about homelessness and antisocial behaviour and kind of kicking the ball around about what we do. It's like, we're just down the road, it's the People's Project.
Yeah, that's right.
Just go and talk to them. So it's about really strengthening the case for these things that actually work. And not just keeping it simple as well. So we use a quote, we use and slightly abuse a quote now from Norm Kirk from 1969, where he said, you know, what most people want is a place to live, food to eat, shelter, and a sense of hope.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, all the academic papers in the world cannot improve on that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's Maslow's hierarchy.
Yeah.
And so my motivation now is to say, what are the foundational needs for people and their families and their communities, that if they have those, then they have the choice about the higher order things as well. But if you're hungry and you're homeless, you cannot.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is what gets me here every day.
Yeah. So, I mean, we're talking about a pretty big region and there's some pretty big problems.
Yeah.
And that listening component is obviously really critical. Mm. Where do you see the Wellbeing Waikato is having a role? Like, what is your job in this space?
So we sort of use three words to describe the things that we do. So we do research, knowledge, and storytelling.
Cool.
And we're not a think tank in the sense that we just sit there and kind of invent things to write about. We listen. We hear that something is a challenge or an issue. And so what we do is offer our capacity and capability to actually bring information together about that might not be brought together before. And so that could be, you know, formal research that we're acting as an aggregator for. We can do original research like we did in Coromandel, Hauraki.
Yep.
And then share that with people who can use that to make better quality decisions and better quality investment decisions.
So there's an advocacy role there as well, isn't there, with those people with power and resources.
Yes, that's
so
right.
So conduit, you know, pulling up the information from the grassroots and getting it to the ears of the decision makers.
And I think the grassroots thing is really important too, because there's sort of three or so strands of good research. There's the formal quantitative evaluative research, and then there's lived experience, which is, I think, you know, systematically undervalued.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that might work for you, mate, but, you know, type of thing. Well, actually, it's real. And then there's mātauranga Māori as well.
Mm.
And so what we're trying to do is say, if you imagine those as a Venn diagram, insight is at the centre of that.
Yeah.
So it's not just data, it's turning it into knowledge.
Mm.
So, and then storytelling is that, why don't we actually go out and listen to the people doing the good stuff? And you know, we started a program called Lots of Little Fires, which I'm personally enormously proud of.
Mm.
Joe Wilson was the creative genius, the community genius behind that. I did not have the connections and the mana to do that, but he did. And by doing that, what we did is we showed people and change makers doing things that really worked.
Yeah.
And there are examples of by capturing that through really high quality videography and sharing it on our social media channels, those providers were able to capture the hearts and minds of people and Pūtea and resource. Mm. You know, so that's the impact.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
the impact.
Absolutely.
As opposed to, you know, contracting a very expensive multinational consultant.
Yes.
to write a report.
Yeah, well, this is often the challenge, isn't it, for many non-profits out there providing services and support to local grassroots communities is yeah. actually finding the evidence of the value of their work. I mean,
absolutely.
You know it, you feel it, you see it.
Yeah.
But how do you actually express it and how do you sell it? And I don't mean in a marketing real way, but how do you really get into the hearts of the people who are funding these things so they yes. really understand what it is that you're doing?
Yeah, well, and we face that problem ourselves.
Oh, I know, right? And it's very hard for those of us that work in more of that capacity strengthening space,
that's
or,
right.
you know, that level up, right?
Yeah, that's right. And, yeah. you know, and yeah, people say to me, yeah, sometimes cynically, yeah, but what do you do? And I explain it like I have, and they go, yeah, but what do you do? So what they're looking, I think as humans, it's natural to look for something physical and tangible.
Yeah.
And of course, if there's a political dimension to that too, you want something physical and tangible with a ribbon and a brass plaque in front
yeah.
of it that you can have your name on. And that's understandable and that's fine. But that is not, you know, we always say he tangata, he tangata. Well, that's true. It's the human capacity and capability that if you don't have that, then those physical things are never going to happen.
That's right. And so often the people at the coalface have their heads so far, you know, down and into the mahi that being able to celebrate their successes and elevate that voice,
that's
you
right.
know, it's just divides time too much when
it's not
there's
on
so
radar.
Much work. Exactly. Mm. Yeah. So yeah. so wonderful. So lots of little fires though. That's not is that part of it going forward? Where are we at with that?
So what we decided to do, it sort of became too successful for us.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Really.
Yeah. Well, this is the whole point, right, is
yeah.
you create something successful and let it fly.
Well, that's right. You kind of yeah. feel like, well, so we're sort of like a social innovation incubator.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so we funded that and homed it, if I can call it that, for 3 years. And we got to the point where, because of this finite funding situation that we
yeah.
have, we just couldn't really make the kind of commitment to funding it in the future that we wanted to. And so I have to really give a shout out to people like Melissa Gibson, Jeremy Mayle, and the people at Seed. They actually came to me and said, look, this is really amazing. How would it go if we became the new guardians of it?
Fantastic.
Yeah. And with the same kaupapa.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not for me to own. I've never owned it. Because you can't own other people.
No, that's right.
So we said, that's great. That's awesome. Let's do that. And
yeah.
so it continues.
So the storytelling side now of the work that you're doing, is that going to look quite different then in the future?
I think so. I mean, we've kept storytelling in our byline.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a human thing to do. It's that, you know, I mean, the phrase lots of little fires, we came up with that because we said, you know, it's like when people sit around a fire, you know,
yeah.
when you're out
yeah.
in the middle of nowhere, you light a fire and you start talking.
Yeah.
Fire has this magic. And so I think sharing stories is what is human. And so I can throw some data at you and talk about the p-values and the statistical significance, and you'll probably just go yawn. But I could say, or let me tell you the story about the mums in Colville
yeah.
and how the mobile dental service changed their lives.
Exactly. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're an ongoing partner with Seed Waikato and Lots
yeah.
of Little Fires, so we'll continue to share those stories.
Excellent.
But the idea of talking, sharing stories in a qualitative lived experience way,
yeah.
I think is just essential.
Yeah. Oh, no, it just sounds, yeah, absolutely right.
Must do.
And we try and do the same thing too,
yeah.
obviously, with Community Waikato, sharing the stories of those community organisations and the work that they do. But,
yeah.
you know, those grassroots stories too, you know, about how those services change lives, actually hearing it from the people, you know,
that's
very
right.
critical, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. What do you think's on top? Let's throw out a big question. What's on top for wellbeing at the moment across the Waikato region, do you think?
Well, I've kind of developed this model of how the world works.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sort of throw aside listening for a second.
Yeah.
And it's as a result of the work that we've done. And, you know, so we've done work on things like youth, food, housing, places, young woman wellbeing with the YWCA and others. And there's no single unifying theory of wellbeing. There isn't.
Mm.
But I'll give you the example. We did a whole lot of work on research on food, both in terms of the data on food in the Waikato, which is quite extraordinary, but also on what really drives food deprivation and food scarcity. Yeah, and to a certain degree, it's a false scarcity because we produce a stupid amount of food in this region. But when you look at the data and you look at it in terms of what actually means that even middle-income earners are now struggling to put kai on the table for their whānau. And so, you know, what I mean by that is literally teachers, fire people, nurses turning up at food charities.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. What's the dog? What's the dog that's causing that? And what you find is that if you look at the data, the dog is unaffordable housing. Because if you're in Tokoroa right now and more than 40% of your income is going on rent for a pretty average house, it just destroys choice. So there's a hierarchy of expenditure within a household budget. And by hierarchy, I mean how big is the expenditure and how avoidable is the expenditure. And to turn it into a bit of a slightly off-cuff comment, you can defer a toothache, but you can't defer the landlord.
Yeah.
So you think about it. You have to pay the rent and the mortgage first. Then you probably have to light the house and heat the house, and that's becoming more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And then you might have to pay some insurance, and then you might have to put some gas in the car, and then you might have to pay for the broadband, and then you'll pay for the kids' schooling. Think about your own experience. It's only once you've kind of got those things sorted that you then go to the supermarket. You don't go to the supermarket and say, I'm going to spend all I've got and see what I've got left for rent. You do it the other way around.
Yeah, that's right.
And so food scarcity is because food is expensive, but it's also because housing is taking up so much of the household budget. So that's really promoting, and it's a false scarcity because we've lost control of the housing system in this country. And including in the Waikato, where if you are earning the median household income in Hamilton, you will have to pay seven times that to buy the median house.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I tell you what, Holly, it just really gets under my skin when I hear people saying affordable houses in the Waikato at $700,000. So what planet are you on?
Yeah.
That's not right. That is not right. An affordable house should be between three and five times your annual income.
Yeah.
And there's almost none of them.
That's right. And the ones that are not necessarily wonderfully livable houses.
Might
not accommodate a large family.
No, that's right. So, yeah, in terms of how I partition my time, I find myself more and more drawn into the housing space and more looking at this in terms of not only the sort of the housing deprivation side of things, the emergency transitional social housing space, but also, if I can say it, kind of being a representative for the middle income earner and saying, right now, these people are in trouble too.
That's
a great indicator of system failure. So we're doing some work at the moment to ask the question, what would it take to make housing truly affordable in the Waikato? What would it really take?
And where are the levers?
Yeah, that's right. And I could have another 3 hours with you on that. A lot of them are big things around infrastructure affordability and the supply of affordable land. But a lot of them also are around a system where it's become so complicated that not even the council people know quite how it works.
Yeah.
But also, if you speak to first-time buyers, they think there's nothing out there for them. And that is somewhat true, because all they see is four bedroom houses on 800 square metres for $800,000, and they just go, is that all that's been provided?
Mm.
So we need to change the demand and the supply.
Yeah, yeah. We see housing is being built differently in communities now as well, with more infill and going up more.
Yeah, yeah.
And you see that as part of the solution?
Well, I think, especially in Hamilton, I think Hamilton's evolved enormously in the last X years, 10, 20 years, from a sort of a rather oversized rural service town to a small city. It needs to see itself as an urban agglomeration.
Well, apparently the modelling from Waikato University has us ahead of Wellington in terms of size by 2040.
Yeah, yeah.
So we're moving.
We are moving.
We need to keep up, right?
Well, we need to keep up.
And have a vision.
We don't want to, the number of people arriving is not a measure of success.
No.
It's kind of convenient geography. We happen to be 120 kilometres from Auckland, where people are spilling out of because that's ridiculously unaffordable.
Yeah.
But what we need to do is we need to say this is a city, so cities do have denser living. They tend to go up more than they go out. And it's got to be good stuff, not just junk.
So there's, a lot to do in the next 6 years, right?
Oh, no worries.
All of this here, yeah. And like that.
Yeah.
So you are going to be busy, aren't you, which is wonderful. And we'll have to get you back on to have another conversation,
Love to.
The track, see how things are progressing and how this story is progressing, because housing is, it's a very big topic.
The big kahuna.
Yeah, and I love the tie into it's not just housing, it's how that impacts everything else, the affordability of everything else, and obviously that is critical to well-being, right?
You got it.
Wonderful. Really appreciate your time with us today. Thanks for coming in, Harvey.
My pleasure.
Congratulations on the new entity and now fledging off into the world as a fully fledged thing.
That's the words. I'll put that on my business card.
Thank you. That's what it should be. Hey, wonderful. Thanks so much for joining us. And you've been listening to Connect with Community Waikato, Free FM 89.0.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.